Today, we will be reading Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 20. Before we begin, let's pray. Father God, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, guide us and direct us. We want to hear your voice. We want to know how to better follow you. Teach us something today. Lord, open our eyes so we can see you more clearly. Open our ears so that we can hear your word and understand. Open our hearts so that we are ready to hear and follow and accept and obey what you are saying and what you are telling us to do. Lord God, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 18, 1 through 20. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who, then, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. If your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep, and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly, I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I with them." All right. Today, we once again looked at Jesus teaching about the kingdom of heaven. And here he begins by talking about who is greatest. And he does something very interesting. He brings a child in, and as they are looking at this child, he challenges them. He says, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, what does he mean? Well, there are several things. But part of it means, I think, that we must have faith like a child. Like a child trusts and looks to their parents and loves their parents and finds joy in their parents. That is how Jesus wants us to be with him. He wants us to have faith in him, complete unwavering confidence that a child might have in their mother or father. That is what he wants from us. Do we trust God? I mean, really trust him? Or do we always question, well, I don't know. I don't know if I trust him. I'm not sure if he'll do what he says he'll do. And I don't know if what he wants is really best. And maybe this will be better. And no, instead, we need to completely trust God. We need to not worry about all the things in our life, but trust him and know that he will provide for us. And so I think we're supposed to have faith, but also we need to have humility. Children know that they are not in control. They know that they are not the one who makes the decisions. And that's what we need to be like. We need to be like a child, knowing that someone else is in control, that even though we may not like it, that we have to submit. We have to do what they tell us to do. And so then he talks about that we must take a low position, just like the child, not trying to be the leader, not trying to have all the authority and have the power, but instead, like children, being humble, doing what we're supposed to do, not being proud, not thinking that we are better than we are. And then he warns against causing the children or others to stumble, that we must be careful that our lives, that our actions, do not present reason for our children or the children around us to stumble. To fall. Our actions should not lead our children into sin. They should not lead our brother into sin or our sister into sin. We must be careful in what we do, what we say, how we act, how we live, knowing that others are probably watching us even if we don't know it, and that we are an example to them. They are watching our lives. And so we should be living in a way that would not lead them down the wrong path, that would not cause them to do what's wrong. And again, he warns about things that cause you to fall. Just as he did back in the Sermon on the Mount, he warns again that if there is something in your life that is causing you to sin, that is causing you to fall, cut it out. Get rid of it completely. Don't even give it a small little space. Don't even put it away and say, oh, I won't do that again, but then have it nearby so that you can easily get to it. Instead, completely cut it off. Find a way to get rid of it completely, so it's not even tempting you to go down the path of sin. He says it's better to enter life maimed or crippled or blind than with all of your hands and feet and your eyes be thrown into hell. As he talks about this, it's as if he's saying, it's better for you to sacrifice something here on this earth and enter life, real life, heaven, without that than it would be to try to hold on to it here and then end up having that keep you from going to heaven. So we need to let go of anything that's keeping us from God. Let go of anything that causes you to turn from God and disobey. And as he talks about this turning from God and getting away from God, he encourages them to pay attention to those around us, those who are not doing what they should be. And he says that those who have fallen, those who have wandered away from God, that God still cares passionately about them, that they are still valuable to God, that they are still part of God's family, that God wants them. And he compares it to a shepherd with sheep. That just as if a shepherd had 100 sheep and one ran away, the shepherd would leave the ones that are safe, go out, and he would search for that lost sheep. And this is a beautiful picture. Do you realize that God is searching for you? If you are away from God, if you have not actually even come to God, you are valuable to God. He cares about each one of us so much that he goes out and searches for us. I believe that you are not here listening to this, listening to me talk right now by accident. God has brought you here because God is searching for you. God wants to bring you back. And God actually knows where you are. It's not that you're necessarily lost, that he does not know where to find you, but instead that you have lost your way. You, in wandering away from God, may not know the way back to him. And so he has come out to get you. He has come to find you and pick you up, wrap his arms around you, shelter you with his love, and carry you back home. He loves you, and he wants you to be with him. Now, to do that, though, you're going to have to leave behind these things that cause you to fall. You're going to have to leave behind these things that pull you away from God. But it would be better to do that and return to God and live in his incredible love, in his wonderful joy, than it would be to hold on to these things that may be pleasurable or enjoyable for a moment, but ultimately they leave us empty. They don't satisfy us or make us happy. And they definitely do not provide life eternal. Instead, they pull us away from life. They drag us down into death. So we have to leave behind the sin that pulls us away from God. And so, whether it's you or someone else, God wants all those who have wandered from him to come back. And so he gives us instructions at the end of this reading about what to do. If we see someone that we know and love and care about, what to do if we see them heading away from God? First, he tells us to go to them, just me, one-on-one. Not with everybody else, not trying to publicly shame them or tell everybody about the bad thing that this person is doing, but go to them and individually, one-on-one, talk to them. And just like I am doing right now, tell them about God's love and try to lead them back to Christ, lead them back to Jesus, and help them leave behind this thing that is taking them away from God. If they don't listen, then we need to take someone else with us, one or two other people, and talk to them. And gradually make it larger so that we are trying to save them. They might be going down the wrong path, doing something that will destroy their life and the lives of others. And we care about them. We care about their eternal soul. And so we are trying to intervene, to come in and help them to turn around and follow God, because that is the only life worth living. And so what about you today? Where are you? Are you close to God? Are you living that life of childlike faith where when you hear God's voice, you run to Him like a child running to their parent, running to their daddy when they come home, throwing their arms around Him and saying, "Daddy, Daddy, I'm so glad you're home." Do you run to God or do you want to run away from God? Do you trust God? Do you follow God like a child would follow their parent? Have you run away like a lost sheep, and now you feel so far from God you can never find your way back? He's looking for you. But not that He doesn't know where you are, but He is seeking you, trying to bring you back, trying to bring you to a place where you won't run anymore, where you will say, "Lord, I want you more than all these other things." Where are you? I pray that you will today stop running from God, that you will stop, turn around, and run to God, that you will trust Him with all that you are. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that when I was far from you, you didn't stop loving me. That, Lord, you came after me. You sent your Son to die to take the punishment for my sin. And then you pulled me back to you. That you loved me even when I turned away from you. And, Lord, that you love each of us. That those who are listening, Lord, you love them. And today you just want them to know that like a shepherd goes out to bring home his lost sheep, you are reaching out, calling out, drawing them home into your arms. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.